Hello students, welcome to module 2 of the chapter Markets Around Us of your civics textbook Social and Political Life part 2. Okay, as I discussed in module 1 only, that markets are extremely important for us, and we as common people and as a common customer or as a common buyer, we depend on a market in some way or the other. So a market fulfills the very essential function of meeting our day-to-day requirements on more or less a daily basis. So we cannot give away the fact that yes, markets are important for us, and we as householders and we as part of some or the other family. Our requirements, they vary, and sometimes they increase also, okay, on a more or less daily basis, or maybe weekly, or maybe monthly. So we have to go to the market. Now, as you can see in the very first slide, once again the introductory slide, that is the first slide, the name of the chapter is highlighted, and we can see that that markets, as I just now told, once again I'm reiterating that markets are around us everywhere in some form or the other, and we as customers, or we as buyers, or we as a common person, we need to go to the market. Now, in slide 2, as you notice, we are dealing with the chain of markets. Okay, now this is the second topic in module 2. We will be, as I told in module 1 only, that there are some other topics to be dealt in this chapter. So this is the chain of markets. Now, what do we mean by the term chain of markets? Now, chain of markets, as you can see, it is chain means what? Chain means series. So there is this series which exists. Now, what kind of series, what kind of chain exists? That is important. Now, this chain of markets, to be noted, exists everywhere and in every small area, and in fact the entire nation. Okay, any state you take, any place you take, any example you take, this chain of market exists everywhere in some form or the other. So this chain has to be understood. Okay, why I am referring to this chain of markets? Okay, why I am talking about the chain of markets? Why I am mentioning this? Now, the producer of goods is the first link in this chain. Okay, so the producer, okay, the person who is producing goods, okay, the manufacturer of the goods is the first link in this chain, as you notice. And this producer, he or she sells his or her goods to the wholesaler, who buys huge quantities of, say for example, any vegetable to be sold, or any good you take, okay, so that one, that particular product, that particular, for example, vegetable only, is sold to the retailer. Okay, that is sold to the retailer. Now, this wholesaler, okay, I'm talking about the wholesaler. From the producer, a wholesaler buys the things. Now, this wholesaler, who is this wholesaler? This wholesaler is a person who buys in bulk quantity. Okay, this wholesaler, he or she buys in bulk quantity, okay, huge quantities of a particular product, or huge quantities of a vegetable, or anything, any example you take. Now, a producer requires such persons, okay, because he or she wants to reap the maximum profit, okay, wants to reap maximum profit at a time, and that is why he or she wants to sell the things to a person, to a wholesaler, of course, not to a normal buyer or not to a normal customer, because a particular person, for example, a normal customer like you and me, cannot, or we don't buy actually, okay, we don't tend to buy huge quantities of any kind of product or thing. Okay, what do? We buy things, we buy any vegetable, anything, any product you take, we buy what is required by us, okay, that may be in small quantity or that may be in large quantity, but not like a wholesaler, okay, we never buy like a wholesaler. Now this producer sells it to a wholesaler, and this wholesaler, he again sells that particular product, or say for example vegetables, whatever you take, to a retailer. Okay, now who is this retailer? This retailer is the person who ultimately sells the product, who ultimately sells the vegetables, whatsoever it is, in the market. Okay, he or she is the person from whom we as buyers, we as customers buy things or our products. Okay, now this retailer also, just like the wholesaler, he or she also buys things or the products, or say for example the vegetable only, okay, in a huge quantity, okay, the quantity is high, in a bulk amount the retailer buys things. Therefore the aim of the wholesaler, okay, to reap maximum profit is again fulfilled. Okay, the wholesaler buys from the producer in a huge amount, in a bulk quantity, and the same way the retailer buys from the wholesaler in a bulk amount. And finally, the retailer is the person who sells, okay, who sells the products in the market. The final selling, the final sale of the products is done by the retailer. Okay, so we as customers, we as buyer, we as common people, we buy things from the retailer. Okay, now this retailer, in between this wholesaler and the buyer comes the retailer, as I just now told. This retailer could be a trader in a weekly market, okay, a hawker in the neighborhood, or a shop in a shopping complex. So this retailer can be anybody. Clear? This retailer can be anybody. This retailer can be, again I'll repeat, this retailer can be a trader in a weekly market, a hawker in the neighborhood, or a shop in a shopping complex. Now it is through these links of traders that goods reach faraway places and finally to us. Okay, it is means the goods in the market. Okay, we go to any shop in the, for example, we go to a neighborhood shop, or we get to a shop in a weekly market. Whatever we do, we purchase a good. We are going to purchase a good, maybe a stationery item. Okay, for example, an eraser. So that eraser, okay, we buy one eraser or five erasers for our family, maybe for the children in the family, maybe. So a wholesaler does not buy five erasers, okay, the wholesaler buys a bulk quantity of erasers from the producer, and the retailer also buys a huge quantity of erasers from the wholesaler. So in this way the chain continues to move forward, and ultimately the product reaches us. Now the product which reaches us is the final thing, okay, we get to see the eraser, we pay money and we get five erasers, isn't it? We go to a shop, we pay the money, we get the erasers. We are not at all concerned as buyers about, yes, that entire, okay, for example, 25 boxes of erasers have come, or 30 boxes of erasers the retailer buys. So that box, those boxes, okay, those 25 boxes of erasers, they have been moving through, okay, they have been moving through this chain of markets. So this entire chain of markets, in some way or the other, it finally helps the good to reach us. Now, I hope this is clear. Now, the second slide. The second slide continues with the topic by focusing on the importance of wholesale trading. Why I am again and again repeating or giving importance to wholesale trading. Okay, now, wholesale trading is extremely necessary. Why? It is to be noted that every city has areas for wholesale markets, and all the wholesale traders are linked in some way or the other to their source. For example, a roadside hawker would have purchased a large quantity of plastic items from a wholesale trader in the town. He in turn would have bought these from even bigger wholesale traders in the city. The city wholesale trader would have bought a large quantity of plastic items from the factory and stored them in a godown. Thus, a chain of markets is set up. So this example is very clear. Plastic items are bought. Okay, for example, see, wholesale markets are everywhere. Okay, wholesale markets, they are everywhere. Now, if you talk about city wholesale markets, obviously, a wholesale market in a village will be smaller than a wholesale market of a city. Okay, it is natural. Yes, markets of city or a wholesale market in a city will obviously be larger. Okay, it will be bigger than a wholesale market in a village. So, why? Because catering to the needs of the city dwellers, it depends. Okay, it depends on the needs of the city dwellers. Now, these plastic items, okay, which I just now gave an example, and this is from your text only. So, this entire circle of plastic items, these also have moved in a chain. Okay, ultimately reaching to us. So wholesale trading is important, because unless wholesale budget is there, unless goods or things are bought on a whole scale basis, a market cannot exist. Okay, obviously we should think of the buyers. Okay, buyers, we as buyers or any buyer as such will never buy wholesale. Okay, things in a very bulk quantity, whatever is required by the buyer, that buyer will buy. But that will not help the wholesaler to reap profits. How come a wholesaler will manage, okay, what he has bought? So that is why a wholesaler sells it to a retailer. See, both producer means all the three links, the producer, the wholesaler and the retailer, all three of them, they deal with bulk quantities of goods. And these bulk quantities of goods, they then finally reach the market or the shop from where we buy. As buyers or as a customer, we buy goods or things from the retailer. Okay, we visit a shop, we ask for an item. If the item is there, almost we don't bargain generally, but if it permits, we bargain a little bit and then we buy it. Okay, we get the goods of our choice. Now, so I think this is clear. Now, the third slide deals with the question whether markets exist the fourth slide deals with the question whether markets exist everywhere. Okay, now, markets do exist everywhere. Why I am saying so is, today we don't always need to go to the market to buy everything. Okay, for example, just now I gave an eraser has to be bought, or for example, my son's shirt has to be bought. Okay, or your sister's school bag has to be bought. Okay, so we don't need to make a plan, and then we don't need to go out every time and buy things. Okay, what we can do is we can purchase online. There is this facility to buy online, and What is the best thing about buying online is that there are a huge range of choices available. Okay, be it a school bag, be it a stationery item, be it a cloth, be it anything. There are a huge range of choices available for us. Okay, for example, Amazon Flipkart, everybody knows it. Everybody uses it. Your textbook is not available with you. Okay, so you ask for in the market, you order it, but still they are somewhat slow. The bookshop near your home is slow. That bookshop is not able to bring to you. Okay, that particular textbook, it needs time and you need it. Okay, because your exams are approaching maybe. So you need it anyhow. So what do? You order it online and it gets available at your doorstep. We don't need to go out. Okay. And we can also keep a track of where the good has reached. Money is even paid back to us, isn't it? You must have seen. Suppose a thing gets delivered, you find that yes, it is not okay, it is not up to the mark, it is damaged in some way or the other, then what do? We just return the thing, we get back the money. Okay, most of the things have the cash back facility, some of the things don't have. So we make a choice, we have a choice. Yes, I'll buy the good, there is this cash back choice, and whatever is the result, I'll act accordingly. So there is this case of online purchase to meet our day-to-day requirements. Now, the next slide, as we can see, deals with the topic what we don't recognize or what kind of markets are beyond our recognition or knowledge. Yes, there are some. For example, a farmer uses fertilizers to grow crops that he purchases from a special shop in the city, and they in turn get them from factories. This example is from the text. Another from this text is a well-furnished car in a showroom also hides the fact that things like engine, gears, petrol tanks, axles, wheels and so on were used in the manufacturing of the car. These stories are similar for any other good, isn't it? When we get to a showroom, okay, we buy the car, we see, yes, it is suitable for us, we see its price and everything, we buy it, we come back home happily, okay, yes, I've got a new car. We never think, yes, what kind of effort or what kind of things might have been used in making this car. No, when we see a brand new car in a showroom or when we see a finished product in front of us, we see, yes, we're very happy. We pay and we buy it. So this is the thing. So what we don't recognize is the series of activities, series of things. Just now I gave example. Okay, it's in your text only. The things which have been used, which pass through a chain of markets, ultimately were used in the manufacturing of a particular product. So these are the things, these are the series of things which we generally don't recognize or which we are not aware of. Finally, the final slide deals with the topic, are all buyers and sellers same or equal? For example, shop owner in a weekly market and in a shopping complex are completely different. One is a small trader with little money to run the shop, and the other is able to spend a lot of money to set up the shop. So a weekly market shop trader and a shop owner in your neighborhood area, they're completely different people. Okay, one has, the weekly market trader has little money, but your neighborhood shop owner, he has more money. That is why he has set up a shop. And the profit margin is also more. In case of your neighborhood shop owner, that person earns more profit compared to your weekly trader. And there are buyers who can, there are also buyers who can spend a lot in a mall and get the things they want. And then there are also buyers who have to count each and every time they decide to spend on something. Okay, they can't think of spending lavishly like others. So two kinds of customers, two kinds of sellers are there. Okay, so I think this entire concept of the term market is very interesting and very deep connotations it has, and a whole lot of activities, as we can understand, a whole lot of activities are carried on underneath the chain of markets, and we as buyers get to see only the final products. So markets are, okay, they do are important in our life, and they help us to meet our daily requirements in one or the other way. So this was all for module 2. Thank you.